We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Low of 65. The wind will be light and from the northeast. Then after midnight, it will shift and be out of the southeast. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high of 88. The wind from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, the low 67. The wind from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, the low 67, the wind light and out of the east. Saturday, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high in the mid-80s. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Look for a low in the upper 60s. The outlook for Sunday through Monday, partly cloudy with highs in the mid-80s, the low Sunday night in the mid-60s. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana were in the 80s. Most locations reporting sunshine, although clouds were reported in West Central and in Central Illinois. It was cloudy, for example, at Bloomington at the top of the hour, where a temperature of 82 degrees was reported. 81 at Rockford and O'Hare. Mattoon reported 86 degrees, as did Carbondale. At South Bend, it was 83, Lafayette 86, Indianapolis 87, and Terre Haute 85. Willard Airport reported 84 degrees at the top of the hour, the dew point 67. That gives us a heat index of 86. The relative humidity 56%, the wind calm, the barometric pressure 30.01 and falling, and the sky partly sunny. And at 12:39, 86 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Lisa Braddock is a gardener. She's a passionate and ambitious gardener. In the past, that's meant some of what she grew wound up in the compost bin. Not anymore. She had an idea. Could she somehow share her bounty with people who could really use it? Could food pantries and soup kitchens use it? Turns out, they can, and they're delighted to receive what she grows. Lisa's with me in the studio to talk about what she calls the Sunshine Harvest Sharing Project. Hi.
Hi, Celeste. Thanks for having me here.
My pleasure. So how does this work?
The way it works is, first I contact food pantries and soup kitchens, and I ask them, would you be able to use additional produce? Some of them do. Most of them do. Some of them don't. Some of them deal only in staples, or they might use vouchers. So everybody's a little different. That's what makes this very interesting. I'm learning a lot. But most of them do. And so I ask them, when would you want people to bring produce to you? So they set their times, they set their hours. It's all up to them. And then I take that information and I post it on my website so that it's all in one place, so that if somebody finds that they have extra produce, they can come to the website and see who needs it.
So you have the Champaign-Urbana area directory and a schedule by day of the week and tips for donating produce.
That's right.
Because this is perishable material.
Exactly. The way it has been working, of course, the Eastern Illinois Food Bank also accepts produce from people. And sometimes they're able to turn it around quickly, but sometimes they're not. And so the produce sometimes does go bad. And, you know, this is a way to try and make it a little bit more immediate, to take it right from the garden to the place that's going to be distributing the food and eliminate some of that time lapse.
Now, what are pantries and kitchens most interested in? What kinds of produce?
Well, when I survey them, I ask them if there's anything that they don't want. And the only thing I've gotten is we don't want food that is overripe and spoiling. So they're pretty much open to about anything. I would imagine tomatoes are going to be really popular. I know my tomatoes are starting to come on now because they do tend to come on all at once. So you can only do so much. But I think even things like, you know, greens, cucumbers, peppers. I've had some squash that I've already donated just because the nature of growing squash is feast or famine. And I've got an awful lot of squash. And so that's something that's very easy to share, but also it has a little bit longer shelf life too, so that gives them a little flexibility in how they use it.
Do they prefer that it be packaged somehow, either brought in a box or a bag, or how?
Well, the places mostly would like people to bring things that they can leave. So if you bring a box or a bag or something like that, if it can be something that you can drop off then and leave, that's what they prefer. There are some, though, that if you bring something and you want it back, you know, they'll maybe wash it out for you and give it back to you maybe the next day or make it available back to you. But the important thing is just kind of how you package it. Like, you know, you don't use a huge box with five layers of tomatoes. That's not going to be a happy situation.
You'll have ketchup before the end of the day.
Well, that's true. Or maybe chili, yeah. So it's mostly just paying attention to that. Basically, if people wrap things and set them up the way that they would want them to be presented to themselves or their family, that's a good rule of thumb.
Now, how long has this been underway?
I officially launched this page on August 1st, so 18 days.
And what kinds of things have you delivered?
I have taken squash. And the very first survey that I received was from the Time Center, and I was so excited that someone was actually interested in this because I wasn't really sure at first if it was going to be something that would be beneficial. I was so happy that I went out and picked strawberries and asparagus and took it over to the Time Center because I was just very happy to finally know exactly how to share my produce. And I was grateful to be able to share.
Yeah. And what kind of a response did they have seeing you come through the door with strawberries and asparagus?
They're always very happy. They're always very happy to have both the food to share with their people, but also just to know that people in the community are thinking of them and that there's that connection that's being built between the community and the agencies.
Okay. So the website went up August 1st. Have other gardeners joined you?
I believe other people have. I have talked to some of the people at food pantries, and I was told that within the first week, they were already starting to see more produce coming in. Because a lot of places, there were a lot of gardeners already out there doing this on their own. They would identify a place and take some tomatoes or something. So they were already getting some, but this is more of an organized effort, and I think they're seeing it a little bit more often now. And I ask people that when you do make a donation to mention that this is based on, you're motivated by the Sunshine Harvest Project, because there's opportunities for this to grow and perhaps, you know, get some grants to even do a printing of the directory or something. So that helps us know that we are really having an impact. But I think that is happening.
Are there other communities in our region or out across the country doing something like this?
I think that there are places. I know that when I was first learning about this, it took me a couple years to sort of figure this out. And I talked to Cheryl Precious over at the Eastern Illinois Food Bank, and she sent me to an organization online called ampleharvest.org. And they try to direct people to food banks and soup kitchens and food pantries to share their produce. For me, there was still something missing with the page. There weren't a lot, you know, because they rely on the food pantry to do the work and list themselves and keep up with it. I'm doing it. I'm trying to do the frontline work so that the people who are actually feeding the folks don't have to take the time away from what they're doing to do all this web stuff and that kind of thing. So that's the difference here. And I am trying to stay in touch with the food pantry. I'm trying to build a little bit of a community as well. But I think this is happening in other places. It's just quieter and maybe not as organized, but I think it has a lot of power to it.
Will you branch out from Champaign County to other counties?
I am. In fact, in the first week, I got an email from someone in Vermilion County saying, please, will you include us? And I do intend to branch out. Right now, I'm working on my hometown in southern Illinois because there's a big need there as well. And so I'm working on that. And then I also lived a few years out in Moab, Utah. And so some friends out there said, would you please do it out here, too? It's a very isolated desert community. I said, sure. So I'm working on both of those communities right now. And then if I have time before the harvest season's over, I'll expand. But there's always the winter to get ready for next year.
Okay. Someone who's listening in this afternoon, let's say from Watsika, or Bloomington Normal, any advice for launching an effort like this? Or should they come to your website, Sunshine Harvest Sharing, and work from this model?
I would suggest if someone wants to do this, come and look at the model. If they tell me that they would like to do it in their community, I have a very easy survey that has worked really well for me, and I'd be happy to share that because, you know, there's sharing of lots of different ways and sharing the model so that other people can get food. That's a wonderful thing, and I'm happy to do that.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about your garden.
Well, my garden has looked better in other years. The tomatoes are just not coming on, and we need some rain really badly. But there are things hanging in there. I've got a lot of pumpkins and a lot of squash, and the cucumbers have been doing pretty well. But I'm still waiting for the tomatoes to take off. But I'm sure they're the herbs are doing well this year.
Are kitchens and pantries interested in herbs?
Some of them are. That's one of the choices. I asked them if they would like produce, fruits, berries, or herbs, and they can mark any combination. Some places don't mark it because they do tend to be short-lived. You kind of have to keep them fresh. But if it's a place where you can do a quick turnaround, or especially like for a soup kitchen where they can you turn it to them and then they can preserve it or they can dry it or do whatever they want with it. So I do find that there is interest in that as well.
Lisa Braddock, thanks so much for coming in and talking with me about the Sunshine Harvest Sharing Project.
Thank you very much for having
me
here.
It's a wonderful idea. I wish you all the best on this.
Thank you.
And again, if you would like to check out the website, it is Sunshine Harvest Sharing. Just put that into your browser and you'll get there pronto.
Thank you.
This month, maintenance work is being performed on our AM580 antenna. It'll make our signal more reliable, especially during inclement weather. At times when the work is in progress, we'll need to reduce our power, and some of you may have trouble receiving AM580 as clearly as usual. 90.9 FM will not be affected, and AM580 is always available online at will.illinois.edu. Thanks for understanding.